It's good to be here with you again. Good to see all of you, and your pastor's away, and you still came, and dare I say it, this day has started off pretty dreary, but you're here, and I trust that God will continue to bless us as we worship him this morning. We're continuing on our series, a three-part series on godly speech, and we talked last week about honoring God's name, and today I want to talk about gossip. So I want us to look at some scriptural teaching on this to remind us to avoid gossip and to stay clear of such poisonous whisperings. I think that this is needed in our relationships with others, whether it be our family or friends or in our workplaces. And yes, even in the church, sometimes gossip can be a problem. So first of all, let's work at some definition. What is gossip? And here's a good start. It's inappropriate sharing about others who are not present. And often the sharing is revealing or sensational in nature so that you get a response like, really? Or, wow, I didn't know that. Now, for sure, not all sharing about someone who's not present is gossip. There are two key things that make gossip gossip. And the first is that it's secretive. It's something you would never share with the person if they were in the room. You would never say to them face to face. And I believe that much of our struggle with gossip comes from the fact that we simply do not know how to deal with problems and conflicts with each other in the proper way. So, instead of following Jesus' teaching in Matthew 18:15, where if we have an issue, we go to the person face-to-face, that's just craziness. We would never do that. We go find some third party and tell them all about it. And hopefully they'll take our side. Second, what makes gossip gossip is that it's negative, in that what you say is meant to tear the person down. It is not done with love for the person or with regard for their reputation or for their well-being. Today, I want us to look at three kinds of gossip. And the first one is this: groundless meddling speech and speculative hearsay. And that's all just one kind. Groundless meddling speech and speculative hearsay. And this word is found in two verses in the New Testament, and I helpfully have them underlined for you in the verses I'll show you. In 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul says, of young widows in the church in Ephesus, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Another passage that has this same word is in 3 John verse 10, where John speaks of a renegade leader in the congregation. And he says, so when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. And the word nonsense there could also be translated gossip. The word means babbling or nonsense. It has to do with talking out of ignorance. You may have a bit of information, but you really have no idea what's going on in the situation that you're talking about. But that doesn't stop you. You fill in the gaps with your ignorant speculations and conjectures, usually assuming the worst about the person in question. These are silly negative speculations about other people's business. Here's an example of this kind of gossip. Fred has been struggling financially, but he shows up to church one Sunday morning with a new car. So someone says to another church member, Fred doesn't make enough money to drive a car like that. He must have won the lottery, or maybe he's learned how to cheat the IRS. Here you can see a toxic combination of ignorance. They have no idea what they're talking about. And a malicious spirit. A second kind of gossip: revealing secrets and breaking confidences. Someone tells you something, and maybe it's really juicy, and they ask you not to tell anyone else. you're just dying to share this bit of information with someone else. So you do. And you figure, well, I'll just tell them not to tell anyone else, and that should take care of it. But then they think just like you did, and they share it with one other person, and the process goes on until everybody knows what has been shared. Proverbs 20:19 talks about this. It says, a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a babbler, someone who just talks on and on and on about other people's business. Help me read Proverbs 11:13 altogether. A gossip goes about telling secrets, but one who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a confidence. With regard to Fred, an example might be this. Well, how strange is that? A new car. I'm a deacon, and I just happen to know that the church helped Fred just a few months ago to pay his electric bill. This is an obvious breaking of confidence and sharing things that ought not to be shared. And then a third kind of gossip, just in general, the spreading of negative information about others. The word for this shows up in two lists of sins that the Apostle Paul gives to us. The first one is Romans 1:29. He talks about gossips. And 2 Corinthians 12:20, where he talks about gossip. And the word here means to whisper in a negative sense. You're telling tales about others, and you don't want to be found out that it's you that's telling those tales. The content of what you're sharing might be false information, which would make it secret slander or false rumor, or it might be true negative information, but simply unnecessary to share about the person. You share it without regard for their well-being or their reputation. With regard to Fred, here is an example of a false rumor. It could go like this. Hey, did you hear that Fred used the benevolence fund money to help pay for his new car? Here's an example of true but unnecessary sharing. Fred has always been poor, and his family was poor before him. It just seems to be a part of that family. This may be true, but there's just simply no reason to be sharing this kind of negative information other than to make him and his family look bad. Poor Fred. The truth is, his car is in the shop, and a friend loaned him his car, and in fact, he's doing better financially than he has in many years. But you can see how the poor fellow really got taken through the shredder by all of this negative picking apart of his life through gossip. Now, for many, gossip is no big thing. It's a part of everyday life. But in Scripture, gossip is deadly serious. Why is it so bad? It destroys the reputation and standing of a brother or sister. If it's true, as Jesus teaches us in Matthew 5:21, that angry words are like verbal murder, where we just tear somebody down with our words and take them apart, I would say gossip is like poison administered in secret that also destroys the person. Our gossip is verbal murder, our poisonous words seeking to tear down and destroy someone else. Why is it so bad? It causes strife and broken relationships in a group. Help me, if you would, read Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. It's amazing that when gossip stops, so many conflicts seem to go with it. Help me also read Proverbs 16:28. A whisperer separates close friends. Just destroys relationships. If we ask, how bad is it in God's eyes? Well, in Romans 1:29, it's on a list of sins that evidence a debased mind, along with literal murder and hatred of God. And it's one of the practices on that list that Scripture teaches us deserves death as a punishment from God. It is a big deal in God's eyes. Well, what should we do instead of gossip? Instead of groundless meddling speech and speculative hearsay about others, we should shut up and get a life. And I don't mean to sound harsh, but I do mean it. I say shut up because we should stop our silly, ignorant, critical speculations about things that we don't even know for sure are going on in other people's lives. And I say get a life because this kind of gossip is associated with idleness, as we have already seen in 1 Timothy 5:13. It often happens when we've got too much time on our hands. And that's a dangerous thing. The answer comes in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, where Paul says, aspire to live quietly, shut up, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, get a life. Get enough positive things going on in your life that you simply don't have time to sit around and analyze and pick apart what's going on in other people's lives. Instead of breaking confidences, have integrity. When someone shares something in confidence with you, or maybe if you're not even sure if it's in confidence, ask permission before you share that information with someone else. This is a very simple rule that we can all follow, and it will keep us out of trouble. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus says, let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. If you indicate you will keep a confidence, then be trustworthy and keep your word, and don't share that information with other people. And then thirdly, instead of spreading negative information about others, speak the truth in love. This is what Ephesians 4:15 tells us to do. Help me read it. Speak the truth in love. If what you share about your neighbor is false, speak the truth about your neighbor. And if what you're sharing about your neighbor is negative and destructive and tears them down, learn to speak in loving ways about your neighbor that will build them up. This last one, I think, when the information is true, is probably where we struggle the most as Christians. Let me just talk just a little bit more about that. I would say, speak only when necessary, when there's a redemptive purpose. Now, sometimes you're just trying to sort out what in the world's going on. Someone has done something, it's negative, it affects you, you're trying to sort it out, or you're trying to figure out how to respond to the person in a proper way, or you're even trying to think of how to help the person, and so you need some input. You need to be able to talk about this, but these conversations need to be redemptive in that you're not engaging in tearing the person down. You're seeking to build them up and to show love. And also, I would just counsel, have regard for the person's well-being and reputation. This is what I always think, and as pastors and leaders of churches, sometimes we have to process negative information about others. And I'm always thinking in my mind as we're doing this, if the roles were reversed, how would I want that person to be sharing about me? And I think about that before I share, I think about that while I'm sharing, and I believe that helps us to be more fair to each other. Let's end by looking at the real issue, your heart, my heart. Whenever we struggle with any of these issues of godly speech, the problem is not here, the problem is here in our hearts. In Matthew 12, 34 through 35, Jesus says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. We all have a treasure stored up within our hearts, whether for good or for evil. And when we speak, it reveals what is in our hearts. Our tongue and our lips are directly connected to what's going on in here. Whenever we open our mouths, we're giving people a glimpse of what's going on in here. And so if you're struggling with gossip, you need a change of heart. You need God to do a work in your heart. Do you have a negative spirit that always assumes the worst about others and has a negative point of view on life? You need love in your heart so that you can think the best of others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, he says, love believes all things and hopes all things. Love always wants to think the best of others, not the worst. Love always hopes for the best. You're rooting for them. You're not waiting for them to fall so you can lift yourself up as you look at them on the floor. Love hopes for the best, and until you're proven wrong, is going to stick with hoping for the best in others. Do you have a critical spirit that likes to nitpick and analyze and tear apart other people's lives? Again, you need love in your heart for others so that your words don't tear down, but rather build your brother and sister up. As Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. May God help each one of us as we seek to overcome gossip in our lives, and may God work deep in each of our hearts by his powerful Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. Amen? Amen.